हाँ इंटर ना,
सॉरी
बट इट वाज ना लाइक समथिंग दैट आई फेल लाइक दे रियली दे वर इनटू. आई डोंट नो इफ इट एक्सप्लेन.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Elizabeth. Eddie, what role did you play in the engagement during the development of the TIP district plan, and how did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I led several focus groups with small business owners and supported other focus groups like NAIA's housing development. And what I would add to Elizabeth is the pandemic had just hit and the world turned upside down, and it was so hard to do community engagement with people not understanding Zoom world. So it was extremely difficult for that. And so yeah, so I was I more or less led and facilitated the focus groups.
Got it. And some of those focus groups were.
We did two small business focus groups, and then NAIA and tribal identifying community members.
Got it. I'm looking at here that during the small business focus group, there was a total of 10 participants, right?
Yes.
And then for the Native American community, American Indian Alaska Native community, gathered 4 participants from NAIA. Awesome. Okay, well, now that we all know and are more familiar with Eddie and Elizabeth, we'll move on to the discussion question. So as we hear Eddie and Elizabeth answer.
Could you, before we move on, could you just this last question on what were some of the key takeaways and things that you heard from those focus groups?
I think one of the biggest things is that we realize community members didn't quite understand TIF.
Okay.
So we had to stop how we did community engagement and did more educational before we could ask them questions. There was a lot of distrust from Spanish-speaking community members around the housing. There was a lot of distrust from African-American community members from this tool historically being used. And so there was a lot of feelings that we had to acknowledge around this tool historically and had to help show the community how we were planning to use this tool.
Thanks, Eddie.
We have a Sharon has a request online. Sharon, do you want me to read it out or would you like to come off mute?
Yeah, I can come off mute. Thank you so much, Jesse. I said in the chat that in order to make sure that we are getting the word out to the community at large, maybe we can send out the notices to the nonprofits that work with people with their housing needs, especially those that have been displaced and gentrified out of the neighborhood, because the city still has the right to return policy. And I think we have to be forward thinking to get people to come and attend the meetings so that they can understand and maybe meet maybe some of the partners. Because I was asked by the president of Habitat why African Americans were not applying for the Habitat homes. And I really think that is just the lack of education, of understanding the process, and then what the commitment is and some other barriers. So I think the way to make sure that people understand this opportunity with the Cully TIF and that we're talking about housing needs and affordable housing, that we get the flyers out monthly to the housing nonprofits.
That's an excellent point, Sharon. And actually, we're going to move right into a discussion with the two people we have here from the panel. And we're going to talk about exactly what you're bringing up right now, like what is missing, what can be improved. And that's a really good suggestion for us to bring into this next part of the agenda. And so with that, we'll move into some discussion questions that is for each and every one of you here on the committee and the panel to respond to. This is intended to be a dialogue, so feel free to ask follow-up questions, share your own thoughts, and again, for those online, feel free to raise your hand and we'll make sure we can engage you through through that feature. So with that, the first question that I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask it to Eddie first, and then others can feel free to add on to that. Taking into account all of the work that's already been done, as we transition into action planning, are there gaps you see in engagement that should be prioritized?
I think kind of to Shannon's point, the educational piece still needs to be there. I think this is a very heavy topic, to the point of not understanding where all the resources are. I think that's the gap, continuing to help educate the community.
Thanks, Eddie. That's really good point. Looks like we got thoughts. We'll go Cecilia and then Elizabeth.
I totally agree with Eddie, because I feel like, you know, we had initial information sessions with members of community, but it shouldn't just stop there. I think it should be always ongoing. And there should be a place, I don't know, this is just a thought idea, but like something in the Cully neighborhood or someplace in the Cully neighborhood where people can go and read maybe the latest updates on TIFF, or just something that explains what TIFF is about. But I really feel that it should be something that this committee continues to do, like word of mouth with community, but also something more formal, whether it's, you know, just like a once a month passing out flyers in the Cully community or whatever. It should, we shouldn't just leave it up to people coming here all the time. We should be able to, I feel like, have that out in the community somewhere. Because not everybody can come to a meeting in the evening. And,
right.
I mean, that would be great if they could. Yeah. But I just feel like we need to be a presence out there, not just in here.
Yes.
So it's my thought.
Thanks, Cecilia. Elizabeth, and then Julia.
I was just thinking of the packet, like the whole introduction thing. I feel like it's too long. Like explaining to people what it's TIFF about. Like we can just make it shorter or like do something a little bit different, because I think, because I remember when I was doing this meetings, it was time where people will get lost or confused, because on the way how we have all this PowerPoints, and I remember it was more than 20 slides maybe, but it was really long.
Yeah, it would be super helpful, and like not this second, but just to dive into like what are those pieces that are super important, because I think being vulnerable here as a staff person working for an agency that has done some harm in the past, I think in trying to build trust, we're often afraid to leave things out because there's a perception that we're trying to hide something. And so sometimes we just overload with information because we don't want to miss anything. And it's helping, guiding, like, yes, this, but not that.
So maybe if you have it in and if you have extra questions, just ask, but like kind of mention it, but not go to like, I don't know, deeper, because it was a time where people were confused and we had to go back to the beginning. So for example, the map, we were going back, like where was the line will end in Concordia certain ways, and then where it was not TIFF at, because TIFF is not always, it's everywhere here in Cully, it's just certain area. And then the money wise, there was a lot of questions on that, like how, and my question is with this president right now, that he's changing a lot of things on tax-wise, were we really going to get the amount that we're thinking that we were going to get in the certain years, or it would change?
Before we dive into that question, I think I just want to acknowledge the first point that you're bringing up, which is how can we improve the education like how can people absorb TIFF easy, right? And I will share this with you all, but we have a video in English and Spanish that explains TIFF in like a very cartoony way. And so that might help for future conversations. And to your second question, Catherine or Jesse, feel free to answer, but also we can get back to you on that question just because we want to make sure that we have time for this discussion and this dialogue. But it's a very important question to raise about what federal implications might be on TIFF. So I don't want to be obsolete, but I also want to be mindful that we have Eddie here and we have you here to share your expertise on the ELC case.
Oh, sorry.
No, no, you're okay.
I never have no problems for that.
With that. Oh, Julia. Yes.
Yeah, I think y'all are getting at it. I just, I was curious about like what the tangible resources are and maybe using this group and community expertise to think about what makes resources more accessible. And like, I pulled up and I'm like late to the meeting and I'm like, am I in the right place? Like, cause the front parking lot, at least where I go to park, there's one other car. And I'm like, I know I got the reminder, but like, I'm just like, there's so much activity actually happening in this place. There's a singing group, there's childcare when I walk in, there's this lively meeting. And I'm like, that feels like the micro of the macro of what we're talking about. How do we get people informed to know that there's something happening here, right? And that there's also benefits and resources available that could be of use to them. And so, yeah, just thinking about what those resources and materials look like. And I appreciate the vulnerability and transparency around, yeah, how do we make something accessible, right the wrongs, but then if we're over informing, we're actually getting lost in the details and people stop. I just learned the TLDR, too long, stop reading, don't read or whatever. I was like, oh, I'm aged out. I'm like, don't know to Google the shorthand, but to that point, you know.
And then we had a suggestion online around materials. Sharon suggested fact sheet, maybe a one pager or front to back, hitting on some of those highlights, trying to simplify things. And also, she says, I think we use the word celebrate community to. Sharon, I'm sorry. I think I'm getting lost in translation. You're going to have to come off me for that one.
Yeah, I think that when we're creating flyers and information and speaking about Cully, that we want to celebrate, use the word celebrate community, celebrate Cully by building community so that when people think of Cully, it's not just about the money, but it is about the having a quality community, quality of life, and a place that, you know, people want to be. And I think people new coming to Portland know that, yeah, it's right here in, you know, still in the heart and soul of Portland, and they recognize the value here. But the people who live here, because of all the hype that's out here, are not, you know, really verbally speaking that out, and we don't do it enough. I feel we don't do it enough. That's one of the reasons I was thinking I had told the people at PPS, you know, with losing so many students and families, is that the celebration of that community, right, of a community is what is the drawing, is the value that brings people to the area.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Seeing that there's been a theme of people bringing up having flyers and present in the community, I'm curious to know what languages you all would like to see those flyers in Cully. And so right now we have the English and Spanish, but if there's any other languages beyond that, that one of you want to name for us to also consider and put effort into translating, that would be helpful, because I've seen the word flyer come up a lot and it's been recommended a lot. And so making sure that we're understanding the ask too.
I was gonna say Somali. Yeah, there's a big Somali presence in at Las Anipas.
Polly, Spanish, English.
Can we get an update of the population from does the city of Portland, or who would have that information, or the count? Maybe the county has it.
Sharon, could you clarify the population of Cully?
Yeah, when we're talking about the flyers, I think Multnomah County tracks has a tracking of that, and there was Charlene McGee. They did a neighborhood outreach, I think, and walk, and to get a pulse on who actually lived in Cully. So I think the county has that data through the census.
Yeah, we'll bring next month when we kind of dive into that context piece, we'll bring some data on demographics. It's not going to be a perfect match to the district boundary, right? Like the district boundary is most of Cully, but not all of Cully, but it also includes parts of other neighborhoods. We have friends from Concordia here this evening. And so it's not going to be perfect, but there's the American Community Survey does annual kind of updates on demographic data. And so we'll bring in the best that we're able to pull together.
That'll give us an idea, at least.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Is that Nancy?
It's Catherine, actually.
It's Catherine.
Catherine. Oh, hey. Sorry. Oh, Catherine. Sorry about that, with not being able to see people. That's a good idea with the Concordia neighborhood. They have that newspaper, right? And I think that's a good point, is with those neighborhood newsletters that go out, we should be able to send them something that, you know, gives notice of our meeting.
Thanks, Sharon. Jesse, did you?
Yeah, and then Gary, Laura, I see you, just a moment. And then Gary had a suggestion about holding some sort of mini town halls around the district. And Laura, go ahead.
Both.
There you go.
And I just got appointed, legally, I guess, by the city council. I've been kind of attending meetings, but not officially on the committee. But one thing that I might be able to bring to this committee is a lot of experience. You know, when I graduated from college, I moved to Portland, and I wanted to be involved with the urban renewal. And Lair Hill, where I live now, was involved with that. So I've been tracking just how urban renewal projects seem to start out really hopeful. You know, they got all kinds of really nice public benefits. And I don't want to sound too cynical, but oftentimes it just seems to de-evolve to a small minority of people who benefit and are subsidized. But then there's no way to hold them accountable because they were supposed to provide jobs or affordable housing. And I wonder if anybody's tracked all the various urban renewals that have been happening, I'm thinking since the 60s, probably. And what have been, you know, where it seems like it fell down in terms of public benefit? Because if we knew that, maybe we could come up with policies that would prevent that from happening.
There is, and Brian, I'm hoping you can help me with this. There, Echo Northwest did kind of an audit of urban renewal districts across the city going back to the 80s. Didn't go all the way back to the beginning. It went back a bit. And there's, you know, across all of them, and kind of some data and some lessons learned from that. So that report exists, and we could share it out for sure.
Thank you. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I know urban renewal. I'm trying to think of where it started. I think it was Second and Clay with the Civic Auditorium. Was that the first one? And that would have been, I think, the 60s.
I should know that, Laura, and I don't.
Well, I'm going to have to. I wrote a history of the Planning Commission. I'll have to go look it up in my own book and see when
I can definitely get that info. I just don't have it in my head right now. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, thank
you. Before, I do want to check because technically it's supposed to be like our break time. I just want to check if everyone wants to continue or want to take a 5-minute break.
I'm good.
Any online? Bien.
¿Puedo comentar mi punto y ya después en descanso?
Oh my gosh. Can I say my point and then we can take a break?
Okay.
Maybe they both can go and then take a break.
A lo mejor las dos pueden ir y luego tomar.
Okay, we're going to continue with the discussion, it sounds like. Sky, go ahead.
I just want to, I guess, like, these questions, like, where are we trying to get at with these? Are we trying to do more community engagement for the action plan?
I'm glad you asked this, because I was going to nudge us a little bit after the break. So I think... what I've been hearing is a lot on kind of getting information out, doing education, making us aware of what's happening, and that is all of those things. Yes. And we are hoping to do some engagement in the next couple months, kind of very specific engagement for specific questions, not like necessarily being like, hey, with the rule of 100 people, like, what do you want to see in your, because a lot of that depends. And so I think we've kind of skipped number 4. Which is fine. But it would be super helpful as folks who are going to be doing some of that engagement to just hear from you guys. Like, you know, we've talked about what's in an action plan. Yes, we're going to bring all of the data. I've heard you loud and clear, Sharon, and we'll bring all of that stuff next month and we'll have an entire session on it. But like those questions around like, what is the community right now? What are the barriers that people are facing right now? Those are some questions that I have, but I'm not the one. A little bit from you all, and just as you've been talking about, like, what questions are popping up from you that you're like, I wish we had some more information on this, and go talk to people about that thing, guys.
I guess like just with the barriers piece, like in what sense are you... Like it's just life barriers or like, you know, or acts like, because that's where I was.
So I think some of the, and it goes back, the plan is super vague. It's like, just get rid of barriers. And to your point, what does that mean? So, you know, I've had some conversations with folks in this room about some barriers that are facing their communities around, you know, the products that we have available for home ownership and stuff are still not something that they're going to be able to access. We've heard about immigrant populations and challenges with loan applications and some of those sorts of things we've talked through. That specificity is super helpful. When I can go talk to my loan team and like put the problem out there and be like, can we do anything about this? So that's like, I don't know if it's life barriers, like there's stuff, there's language barriers, there's all those sorts of things, but like if folks are hearing things that are like, because I think it's been talked about, like we want to do this differently, and part of that is we need to be proactive about getting information and resources out to community for the next 30 years. That's a big and so there's a lot of it is just information, and like we have to be proactive and go to people rather than wait for them to come to us, because we all know when we do that over time we lose people, and it's the same folks who've always had resources that get access to resources. And so I think if we're trying to eliminate barriers for folks to stay engaged or to access information, you know, folks didn't have hotspots. what are some of those things that you're hearing from your community, that you're seeing in your community? And this, like everything is not like, tell me now. If you have something now, but if you think of something next month, like it's just kind of an ongoing conversation where we're trying to make the resources available to the folks who need them most. And there's challenges there. Is we can talk about those, we can help together.
Yeah.
I was just curious because I didn't know where we were. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Headed with like the community engagement and then the personally, I feel like having gone through all of the community engagement, we do have enough to at least start planning and sketching out like themes, priorities. I guess I would recommend we do the work to figure out what those like themes and the different programs that Prosper and PHP have. And then we sort of take that back out to the community and see. Lining up?
I just think that there's really not just one way to do it. I think that if you try something and it doesn't work, then you should try something else. So like, kind of like a process that you kind of have to learn, but I don't believe for all community, there's just one way to do it.
Right.
So I think you just have to kind of, what I would like to see more of is just having that information out in the community. And maybe that'll work, maybe it won't work, and we go back to the drawing board. But getting back to what Guy said, just like, you know, moving on to our action plan and saying, you know, getting that information out and seeing what feedback we get back. Maybe not any, maybe a lot, but we don't know that till we do something.
Right.
So is the thought, just so I want to make sure, so I think as I'm thinking about this, there's some initial engagement. We put something together and then we're vetting that with communities. I'm hearing a little bit like, let's put something together and then spend more time with that product out in community vetting the document. Iterative.
Like we did 4 years.
I know we're getting new people too. So I don't know. It would be nice to have happen. Keep updating, informing, because we have a lot of people.
Yeah, and so I think the second half has to happen no matter what, right? Like we're going to write something and we're going to share it with a whole bunch of people and have conversations and get their input and revise it. I think the question I have is that, are there questions you guys have that you want more engagement on before you feel ready to do the action plan? Or do we feel like we have enough?
Yes. Okay. I have a couple questions.
Okay. What are they?
Iba a comentar algo relacionado a un punto que ya pasó.
Yeah, she was going to comment on something that already was left a few points ago.
Entonces está bien.
It's okay.
Queremos tu comentario.
Yes.
Mi comentario es respecto a lo que estaban diciendo sobre los idiomas. Que estaban comentando nuevas personas, comunidad. Sí, está bien, pero un punto importante que creo yo es mantener eso. Voy a poner mi ejemplo, yo soy agradecida con el apoyo, Luis y todo. Pero a mí la primera reunión me dieron en español todo. Todas las demás no he recibido uno en español. Perdón. Yo Luis me ayuda, yo le digo, oye, Luis, ¿me ayudas? Y él me traduce, él me habla por teléfono, él me dice, te veo en tal lugar. Tengo mucho apoyo de su parte y agradezco eso. Pero todos los papeles, nada más la primera reunión los recibí en español. Entonces, queremos integrar más idiomas. Queremos integrar más gente, primero hay que mantener el que tenemos, porque si traemos a alguien, ay, te invito, y ay, mira, este mi idioma, y viene y lo recibimos con otra cosa, se va a ir, no va a tener sentido. Entonces, es un punto que quería dar. Pero,
yes. Gabby, I'll give you a break, okay? and so, just repeating or translating Bea's comment for folks online and for everybody here in the room today, there's some grief over, if we're going to talk about language access and language justice, then we need to make sure that we're providing materials in Spanish as well. Bea is sharing an experience that she's only received a packet, the packets that we get at the beginning of each meeting in Spanish, the first meeting. And so consecutively for every meeting, aside from the first meeting, they haven't been in Spanish and they've only been in English. And so it's a check. It's a call in for accountability to make sure that we're providing these materials in Spanish and not just in English. But that there is support outside of these spaces, but to make sure that we're we're being inclusive in every single space that we're in. And so I think between Jesse, myself, and Catherine, we're going to make sure that this doesn't happen again, Bea.
Por mí está bien, pero si queremos traer nuevas personas, no siempre van a tener la misma disponibilidad o la misma... Yo agradezco todo el apoyo, pero hay que enfocarnos un poquito más en el sentir de los demás.
Especialmente si estamos tratando de arreglar lo que hemos hecho, ¿no? Los errores del pasado, tenemos que enfocarnos en...
Sí, queremos estar más unidos con más comunidades y así después podemos ir a más idiomas. Que abarcar uno, luego otro, para hacerlo bien.
Yeah. I was just saying, especially if we want to repair errors from the past, right? That then going forward, it seems important to be, you know, presenting it and inclusivity of language too.
Sí. Yeah. And I'll say one more thing in Spanish and I'll say in English. Bella, disculpa, no, de veras.
Cada quien va a pasar. Estamos tratando para la comunidad. No por mí ahora, yo estoy bien. Yo tengo el apoyo de ella también, tengo la traductora y todo. Estoy bien, pero si queremos hacer algo más para la comunidad, hay que pensar más en ellos.
So to Bea's point, basically just repeating again, like, for me, it's... All right, but to everyone else, you know, especially to the community, if you want to make it happen, you've got to make sure.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Bea. How are folks feeling on a break? Do we want to continue or do we want to break?
You
can be embarrassed before I forget it.
Sorry.
Yes, let's take a break, please.
Okay. Before we go on break, Elizabeth. Okay, we're gonna go on break for 5 minutes. Back at
7:20.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So 7:21 will return.
cinco y cuatro tres como estamos
hablando de que no ponga cosas en la bolsa gratis.
Are you back? No, back online.
Yo nomás la estoy siguiendo ahí.
Me firmo mis cartas.
We'll have 18 minutes left for discussion questions. Please take it away.
Yeah, just giving a couple seconds for people to get in their seats. For those of you online to come back and join us. We're going to pick up from a question that Catherine had. Catherine proposed a question about, and actually, Catherine, do you mind sharing the question that we were leading it off with before we closed out about what needs to happen before we enter the action planning process, if any?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just going back to once we have a draft, there's a whole bunch of engagement that will happen no matter what. But I think there's a question around that I'm hearing within the committee. We have enough. I think this is where Sky was. We have enough from the last several years to draft something, and then we take that out. Versus, are there questions that this group has that they want answered with community input before they put a draft together? Or you want to put a draft together and then get that input on the back end to change things? Like, what I think, what's the best way? What feels right?
Yeah, I want to make sure that folks are understanding the question. Does anybody have any clarifying questions about the question that Catherine is asking?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just say, as long as we can get, I think getting some of that context data will be important. Yeah, so like running, you know, all the community engagement through like, okay, what's going on with housing and LA?
Yeah.
What's going on? And like,
so can like the status report.
Or like, yeah, and just like, right. And we also have to run all of this through like what programs
something.
Yeah.
Prosper and HB have. We're not.
It's making me think back to the last, like when we were putting the district plan together, when we started putting drafts out. There were literally places in the, like, sometimes you don't know the questions you're trying to do things. And so maybe, I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, maybe to like, if folks want to start putting the thing together and we're noting where there's questions, then we know exactly what we need to ask about sharing the draft out. And we can just put in the drafts, here's option A, option B, and like, here's a question. I'm just really kind of narrowing on those.
That's what I would recommend, because it's hard to talk so theoretical about it until we put it together.
It is. Yeah.
I'm a visual person, so having something like that really helps.
Yo creo que algo así apoyaría.
Julia?
I think it's a great idea. I think having something tangible to move forward with and to actually be able to maybe visually, to Cecilia's point, to visually show and have, like, it actually supports education and maybe promotes community engagement and buy-in, and we also get information at the same time, rather than it being theoretical, because I join these conversations and I'm informed and I've been doing this, and sometimes I feel like I'm in the weeds, you know, and so I just, I can imagine, like, I'm an English speaker, and it just feels like a lot, and if you weren't involved in the process at all, like, and that we might lose people rather than engage them in what we're trying to do. So having something concrete.
So I'm going to bring in Eddie into the conversation to provide his thoughts. Eddie, again, a panelist, and here has a lot of wisdom to offer the group.
It reminds me of when we were finalizing the district, the physical boundary.
Mm-hmm.
We took it back to the community several times. And I think that was very helpful. So we did not ask the community to draw the line. We presented something to them,
mm-hmm.
and they gave us the feedback. And then we made alterations from there. It sounds very similar to kind of what Sky was saying, is probably create something here, all of you. You all represent the community in a capacity. then we can get better at the community engagement part and get their feedback
from it. And I think it clears up, just an observation I'm making, it clears up the fog of what we had originally when we were first meeting in the first couple of months, which was, what are we going to engage community members to? I remember you all had a discussion about, like, at what point do we increase engagement efforts? But then you all were like, well, we're talking about boring, how to vote, stuff. And so I think having that tangible document to share with community members so that there is something for them to provide input on is what's missing here. And that seems like that's getting a lot of momentum here with you all. I want to invite Karen to share some thoughts. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm just a very slow processor, so I'm always listening, but I process very slowly. And I think that moving forward takes away some of, you know, we were talking about like having to explain what a TIF is to the community. You know, like obviously we would still explain like what it means, right. But I think, yeah, being able to provide something really tangible gives people a better framework than having to like start from point zero, you know, so it gets rid of some of that.
Thanks, any folks online? Tawanda, go ahead.
Just checking in, Tawanda. We haven't heard from you yet tonight. We just wanted to make sure.
I'm just taking a moment to pause to read over the questions again.
Listen to the choir.
How do we want to just like we're talking about getting a
video?
Fires, butter.
I'm gonna propose another question. It's ensuring that we're having the most effective engagement, but in order for us to have effective engagement, we need to know what that looks like. And so a question that we have for all of you is, what is the best way to share information? Sharon touched and mentioned a couple of good ideas, which is ensuring that we're communicating with neighborhood association, housing services, nonprofits, ensuring that our flyers are on their newsletters. Are there any other methods of outreach that you all can just name off the top of your head, whether that's like a video or whether that's, you know, blasting emails? Like how do you best inform community members? Any suggestions from people here? Elizabeth?
I'm just thinking with everything that has been going on lately and it's affecting a lot of our community, especially. I think the newsletter, the Cooley newsletter, I haven't received it for a long time. I don't know if they stopped doing that.
They still do.
I haven't received
it. I have to give a new email then.
And another thing is like, before we used to knock on their doors, like hang in the flyers and talk to them and have conversation, but I feel like now I don't think that will be really helpful because a lot of people are not opening the door. So I don't know how that will work. But I feel like we have Hacienda and the clinic still happening before they move. I was just thinking to have like a small box and keep like flyers and short information, and if there's want to know more information, you have a QR code.
Okay, those are really good suggestions. Thank you, Sharon.
I would love if we could do just like a 1 minute video and what that video would consist of, and we can do these right there at our meeting times. They can be recorded on someone's on the Prosper's or somebody's phone, and these videos will just say, hi, my name is, I'm a CLC advisory board member, or we could do it with someone from our community and them standing by us saying, hi, I invited Barb to the meeting, or I invited Bob to the meeting. And, you know, our meeting dates are, you know, the fourth Wednesday, something like that, because people are visual and we need to do something where people can relate to the advisory board.
That's a really good suggestion, Sharon.
I'm hearing we got to do a TikTok then. I'm going to need a ring camera.
I thought they didn't have them with TikTok.
No,
that's how I'll still inform Diane.
Sorry.
They're going to have it for like 10 hours.
Oh,
not everybody has TikTok though.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. And Elizabeth, to your point about the newsletter, and this is just as FYI for everybody here, for those of you on the virtual, we do have a Cully Tip District newsletter sign up right now. And so in person, there's a sign up sheet right here at the front next to the cans. And there is a virtual way to register. Right now, you can find it at Living Cully's Instagram or Facebook. But if you're online and want access to the virtual sign up, you can email the email that's on the Prosper Portland website, and we can make sure that gets to you. Or if you want to comment too on the Zoom chat, we can make sure we get that registration link to you. But that will evidently provide monthly updates about the Cully Tip District.
Well, and I'm wondering about merging that with what Sharon brought up, because I do think like the personalizing of it is really important, and like throwing one of those videos in each new, like just every month, like introduction to a new person on the committee.
Right.
I have a related question. Like sometimes we enabling stuff, like we talked about going to like Sunday Parkways. I feel really boring when I'm there. Like I have my boards and I have my handouts, and everyone looks at me and they're like, nope, and they just keep walking. So like,
okay, just
do you guys have thoughts on like what would be, and I hope they must have dropped this when we are kind of out
stumbling talking with them. I have done it before.
Yeah.
And if you're just sitting down, that doesn't work.
Right.
I'm obnoxious.
You had to
hello.
Hello. You had to like walk in around and be like, oh hey.
Oh,
I have a something to
be like, here go.
Yeah. But if you said that's not word,
pero lo que tú dices, no.
I'm not sitting, but I just I would.
If you plan it to have it, maybe we can volunteer and come.
I'm just curious, what do other districts do for this, for engagement? Do they not do anything?
Wait, can you repeat that?
Oh, what do other districts, like similar groups to us?
Kind of similar. Like there's kind of like local networks that were kind of pushing information out through the different community-based organizations. There's flyers sometimes that get hung up at sometimes we put them on bus stations and try and get mad at us to do that. Grocery store boards. We have worked with some, like in East Portland, we're doing some of this stuff now, and like we have a community partner who likes to do canvassing and knock on doors and talk to people. We have a video. We're doing Sunday Parkways in East Portland also, so I'm like, oh, I just had
it. Like the goal for this is just to get people to come to these meetings. Be aware. Generally aware, informed.
Yeah, I think it depends. And
like,
I think
hear a newsletter, like, what are we going to share?
Yeah, I think there's like opportunities to eat. So, like, some people might want to come to meetings. So, yes, they should know about it. Other people may just want to go to the website, like Elizabeth was saying, the QR code, just to like learn more. People are really different places. But yeah, it's something that we do a lot of, and I think we could be better.
Right.
So, because I'm just like, if you guys are seeing holes,
so
don't
be shy.
Budget for
the newsletter?
TIF funds.
Well, I mean, but do...
It comes out of TIF dollars.
Yeah.
So if it's related to the plan and the development of the action plan, it's eligible. So that it's a trade-off, right? So but we have some budget, but
it's a kind
of thoughtful.
It looks like there's a question online.
Yeah, Laura, did you still have a question or a comment that you wanted to make?
I can't. Are you asking me to speak or no?
Like with what intention?
Yes, ma'am.
What's our intention? What's the goal? Are we informing?
We can make a website.
Wait.
Hello.
Hi, Laura. Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. There was a lot of talk.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that I live in Southwest and we have a urban renewal area on the waterfront. And I would say it's like the worst example of how to interface with the public. Okay. It's primarily geared towards the large developers, Idell, and their needs and wants in terms of development. I know the Planning Bureau, they did a 40-page staff report and they listed a lot of proposals that, I mean, policies actually, that had passed and our community had worked hard for them. And the developer wasn't meeting the criteria, but the Planning Bureau said they were gonna pass it anyway. So I think, at least where I live, there's not any encouragement for the public to be involved. There's a feeling of, well, we have to take care of the needs of the large developer. And I don't know if there's any large developers in Cully that have been engaged by the city and plan to benefit from this plan, but I would be proactive in terms of trying to even out, you know, there's a power difference between the average person and some of the larger developers.
That's a really good flag, Laura. Is there a certain strategy that you would find useful to engage community members into the TIF district process? Do you see flyers being effective? Do you see social media being more effective from your perspective?
Well, it would be really nice if the city enforced the policies that we worked for 40 years to get on the books. But they're not being enforced. So a lot of people feel like what's the point of working on stuff? But there must be a way to get the larger developers to have to follow the same rules that everybody else does.
Oh, no, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for that, Laura.
And then
Sharon.
Laura.
Sharon, go ahead.
Well, this is what I can say. Since I think within the last 2 years, as far as developers, we've had at least 3 to 5 large general contractors either move a satellite or their headquarters into Cully TIF District. Hoffman Construction, they used to be on the 21st floor of the Fox Tower. Skanska has a satellite office, and I believe, I want to say maybe Lease Crutcher Lewis, or there's another company that has moved into the neighborhood. So I have a concern with that as an advisory board member, because what I've seen happen, what Laura was saying, is that the developers and the large general contractors, they know this inside and out, frontwards, backwards, sideways, in their sleep. And I think what we should do is, as an advisory board, we should ask the Prosper board members to be more directly accountable at the board level to, you know, make sure that they hold themselves accountable as the board for Prosper and the city's development, to make it more fair for regular working class people and property owners, and not just for the developers and large general contractors. There has to be some balance.
All
right. These are, yeah, thank you, Sharon, for saying that. I want to also just name that I think the beauty of the TIF district in Cully specifically is that we have this advisory body making the decisions about how we're going to invest into TIF eligible investments. And so I just want to ground us in that and name that, because, you know, Laura, you mentioned about a different urban renewal district and that you're living in and how that's not working out. And I think just grounding ourselves in that Cully TIF is different and we're building towards a different model and we're building towards an anti-displacement model to keep optimism and that hope so that our community members can feel encouraged by that as well. I want to flag that we have a couple minutes, so we're going to wrap up the session in the next couple of minutes, but I think we have an online comment.
I just wanted to share several minutes ago that Andre was able to join us.
Okay. Hi, Andre. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to wrap us up with asking Eddie and Elizabeth one more question.
I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Mariah Vasquez-Potter, and I'm working as the Reimagining Justice and Cully Project Coordinator over at NAIA. I also had a comment about reaching people and how to get the word out. In my experience with outreach like that, it's cutting down the churches and community gathering spaces, schools, letting teachers know what's going on. Those are people that have problems with families and individuals in the community on a regular basis. And I feel like they're very helpful to get that information out. Even, posting up at morning coffee runs at the 7-Eleven and just telling people, hey, we have this program, it's in Cully, this can affect you. And doing that kind of outreach, having them sip their coffee while we talk to them a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. Just as a reminder for the public, we will have a public comment period at some point this meeting where you can share your thoughts at any agenda topic. But to wrap us up in this panel discussion so that we have time for the icebreaker, I want to invite Eddie and Elizabeth to have any closing remarks or share any wisdom with the current committee about the discussion of engagement and how it's looked before and how it can look moving forward. So I just want to create some space for you, Eddie, and then Elizabeth to close out the conversation.
I think Catherine had a good comment. You know, she said, we could always do better. And I think as long as you as a group are working to always do better, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, Eddie. Elizabeth, do you want to say anything else?
I think it's really important for all of us to be on the same point, because if you want is there again, not really understanding what we're doing, it's not really gonna help support each other, because there's times where it comes to me, like right now, if you ask me what I have learned tonight, I honestly, my brain will go blank, because I feel like we have talked about this in the beginning, like how we started, and I think it's good to come back,
right?
But like have some type of like, I feel like we haven't done that much work. I want to like, I'm maybe moving too fast, but like do something else to move forward our goal. Instead of, and this is great, like remember how we started is great,
right?
Because it remembers like why I'm here. And the purpose of it, but I don't know, it's just how I feel. And I don't know if it had too much in my head, but it's not what I was hoping for. But yeah.
One more comment. I just, as you said, maybe because I have too much in my head and I'm just thinking, you know, as you, Eddie and Elizabeth, were talking about the context of COVID too, and now we're talking about political climate and changes, people not wanting to answer their doors, the levels of stress are going to be so high. People aren't going to be absorbing information in this way. And from a mental health component, I'm just thinking like, even more so, right? We need to make sure we're like, and we, of course, we need to try and get it wrong and try again. And if our intentions are good and we're moving forward, that's important. But something to take into consideration, people's ability to absorb information is limited right now. And so are we just inundating with information something that's actually meaningful, tangible, helpful? What is that? And I think people are scared. And so speaking to that fear, right? And speaking to the support that people really need. And maybe, you know, yeah, I don't, I have, yeah. I'll stop there.
I mean, I think it's a good reality check, right? To bring yourself to the present moment and take stock of where we're at right now, where our community's at, where the feelings are. And also acknowledging that, you know, we need to move in step with that because the work needs to continue and we need to make these investments happen for our community. And so, Elizabeth, to your point, I think it's good to always reassess where we're at. And I want to name that this is not the last time we're going to talk about this, right? We'll have side conversations. We'll have conversations as a collective to inform the TIP district moving forward. And so with that, just giving a round of applause to Elizabeth and Eddie for joining us as panelists.
Now we'll move over to Jorge, who will lead us through the rest of the agenda items.
Yeah. Thank you, Luis and Catherine and Jesse, of course, for all that. So that is the end of the panel discussion. I'm going to move us towards the public comment period. Is there any public comment, Luis or Catherine or Sheet?
We don't have a sheet, but I do believe we have at least two individuals in the room.
Two people, okay.
And one in the virtual space. So the individual for you, sure. Was there anything you wanted to share?
Before you do that. One in that. Okay, great. Thank you. Before you go, I want to know if there's anyone else that wants to go other than the ones that have already indicated. Two additional folks, just so I'm aware, so I know. I'll go in the order based on what Jesse knows. If you are going to testify, just know that you have 3 minutes. Try to stick to that time. I would hate to cut you off. And please state your name so everyone is aware of it. First person.
Hi, my name is Rosemary Hill, and I'd just like to tag on to schools as a great place to post information, libraries. Next door, I'm not really on it, but I know a lot of people are. I don't know what demographic that teaches, but that seems to be a popular place where people are kind of on this game. And I'm curious if there is funding for a kind of physical space or an incubator space or some kind of anchor space in the Philly neighborhood for this kind of work that could be part of this investment process as kind of a partnership or a pilot project. Every event that I've been to in this neighborhood has been in this building, which is a great resource, but Julia said it has terrible street presence as an event space, and it, you can't really see what's going on. It doesn't communicate back to the community. So that seems like a barrier to me, and a bigger one than talking about initial engagement. the process we're in right now. But,
thank you. Yeah, definitely I will give that to staff. Yes, just
specifically like the Mercado. Next person.
Yeah. Okay. If you, I don't know their name.
Yeah. So OBRN, go for it. You're up.
OBRN.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, great. Good evening, everyone. I just have a question that relates to a few boards that we are sitting on. And it relates to equity and the war on equity that is happening at the federal level. The question becomes, and this is something I think the CLC might want to consider, how will the CLC deal with talking about DEI and equity and how these dollars are going to be spent in an environment where there's clearly federal pushback, if not erasure, of many of our community?
Is that your testimony?
That's my testimony slash question slash imploring you all to start thinking about it because it's coming. It's already here.
Great. Can you repeat your name one last time? One more time.
I'm Kendall Martin, board president of OBRN.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Our just staff just noting that down so they know to follow up on. Yeah. Thank you. Clarence.
Hello, everybody. I'm Clarence. I'm the president of Spread Fat Day. I live on 42nd Avenue. I'm a property community. It's an urban development. I got property that I like to develop. But it's property community. So I'm here. I'm here. I got a 501c3 property. It's like what we have to do. You have to look at something. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Next question.
I've been told I've been working with Oregon Institute of Technology. This is just an idea that you may want to think about. They have a grant to provide applied computing courses to people. I know you're going to have a lot of proposals coming in from developers, but you may want to put together a group of people from the community who can go and learn how to use computers to pull in data for things like traffic issues and parks and other things. The course is free. People in force will leave with the computer, so that the equipment. And you can imagine putting a group of people together from the community, maybe some of your younger folks who are looking to build a career, but this could be a way to get started. But they could be a group of people who will help get engaged with folks and understand the data that you're getting and help interpret the community. So I'd be happy to make that connection.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is that connected to CRIC?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure what CRIC is, but this is money that came through the Higher Education Council, who's really interested in diverse communities getting skills to be able to do work to support those communities. So it really fits very well.
What did you ask, Elizabeth?
O de la compañía de Crix, ¿sí se acuerdas de que arreglan las computadoras?
Sí. Great. I'm going to call one last time if there's anyone else that wants to give public comment. Great. Okay. I will close public comment period. And for the next 3 minutes, I just want to talk about next steps. Our next meeting is on March 26th, and that will be focusing on engagement effort.
The context.
Context.
So we're going to bring some information. We'll hopefully bring some partners from other agencies to share about what they're doing. I just want to flag that that is during spring break. So I just want to check and see if people are here and wanting to come to this meeting in March, or if you have schedule conflicts and we want to look at moving.
I know I won't be here. I'll be on vacation.
And CLC members online, I know it's the end of the meeting, but we need one last engagement from you. And the question is whether you'll be here during the week of March 26th. The meeting falls during spring break, and so that will have a lot of people be on vacation. And so we're gauging whether or not you'll be in town or not. And it looks like Cecilia won't be here.
Okay, I have...
Oh, my grandson has spring break and he's going with me to the Southwest.
Nice. I have 4 so far, yes. 5 so far, yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, so they will be here.
Okay.
To raise hand?
Just a yes or no.
Oh,
but this is the okay. So I'm getting 6. Anyone online? Sharon.
Wanda and Andre are in town. Sharon is a.
Okay, so I'm looking at 8 or 9.
Laura Campos, I'll be here.
Okay, thanks, Laura. It's 9 or 10. So it looks a good, an all right number. I think you can, we'll continue with March 26th. I'm assuming it's going to be here or to be determined.
So to be determined, we're working with NAIA actually to figure out a space at NAIA. It'll either...
It's confirmed.
You can use
which one? Okay, we've confirmed the location. It'll be on Cully on 42nd Avenue at NAIA's new development building. It's a small business incubator support. And then we'll provide the address to you all, but it'll be here in Cully. There's ample parking, so it'll be good. You might have to find street parking, but there should be parking as a US Bank apartment. Or abandoned parking lot that's right next to the NAIA building. It is maybe a 2-3 minute drive from here.
Yes.
That's Eddie.
There'll be parking at Port Laundria.
Oh.
So at 5 o'clock, that space opens up.
Oh, yeah.
So plenty of parking.
Addresses.
4636 Northeast 42nd Avenue.
Okay.
And then. All that information will be posted. Newsletter will be set. All that information will be sent to everyone, so you don't have to worry about that. Luis will get it to you, and it'll also be on social media, everything like that. The icebreaker we will do at our next meeting, so I will skip over that. But before... If people can quiet down for a sec, thank you. For the next steps, though, I see that throughout the conversations, a lot of requests were made for Jesse, Catherine about data. I hope to see that at the next meeting. One thing that I would probably say to you two and including Luis is to starting today to please have materials in other languages for our... for Bea and also for anyone else that's in the public, probably Spanish. If there's other folks, if you know you're going to come to the meeting, try to send if you can email Luis or someone so they can make you one, because I highly doubt you can make one for every single language.
Yeah, we'll have English and Spanish at next meeting. Yeah. Any languages outside of Spanish, we can do our best to accommodate to those requests.
And then one request that I received from a CLC is during reminders for meetings, can you send a Google invite so you can choose a yes or a no? That's something that some people have not received, and it's helpful to have it on their calendar automatic.
I will do it again.
Some folks, but I will also follow up. And Luis, if you could add all the CLC members on the news newsletter to kind of see what it is about. And CLC members, if you want to give your feedback to that, please do. Luis, is there an update about the recruitment for the TIF coordinator?
Sorry, two people were talking at the same time.
Is there an update that you can give us about the TIF coordinator for Verde?
So the TIF coordinator position, as you all knew, Verity filled that role before she transitioned out. That role is tied through a partnership and a contract with Prosper Portland. That contract has not been finalized and will not be finalized until late March, early April. And so until then, we're not posting any jobs yet, but we will keep you all in the loop when that time comes. So hopefully as the March meeting comes up, we'll have a more concrete update for you, but know that there will be ways for you to engage in that process, US CLC members. And so know that that is a timeline that we're working with, and we'll continuously update you as updates come up. But for now, Jesse, myself, and Catherine are here to provide the support. And so anything that you would go to Verity for, you can come to us. Okay.
Great. Is there any other follow-ups from folks before I join the meeting? Anybody online about any additional requests? Okay, great. It's 8:04. I will adjourn the meeting. See you all on March 26th. Thank you.